CNN said, or Fox or NBC or CNBC or whatever, if we would listen more to what God's word said, how much blessed our soul and our spirit would be today. Amen. Because God has a word to say about us this morning. Okay? 20 and 21. Happy New Year. Turn to somebody and say, Happy New Year. I hope it's been a happy one so far. And I give Lakin a lot of things this morning. And Mrs. R is going to help me out some this morning. And I already told her. She said, well, I don't even know what you're going to preach on. The Holy Spirit already knows. So you all going to help me out some. Okay? You're going to help me out some. You're going to help me out. And I'm going to share a scripture with us first. And the significance of 21 and the significance of 2021, this year is pivotal on God's calendar. But on God's calendar, on the Jewish calendar, it's not 2021. The number is astronomical. I mean, it far exceeds this year, okay, as far as numbers go. But it is significant. It is significant because 21, and somebody was talking to me this week about that, and had been doing a little bit of research about 21 and the significance of it. Those two numbers are important, 2 and 1. 2 are important, okay? Every number that God puts in the Word is important, okay? How many knows that 3, the number 3, is important? Give me one reason why the number 3 is important. It represents what? All right, the Holy Trinity, or the 3 in 1, okay? And although there are doctrines that don't, you know, adhere to that word or that significance of that number, because they really don't believe in the Trinity, but 3 is a significant number. 40 is a significant number in Scripture. 7 is a significant number in Scripture. 8 is a significant number in Scripture. 21 is a significant number in Scripture. What does that have to do with me? Because this year, it has to do, again, what the word that came through Sister Willie about positioning ourselves so we can receive. I could stand up here and tell you that 2021 is going to be this, going to be about that, and get you all pumped up. Maybe I would. I don't know. I'm going to have to, you know, God's going to have to do a lot. Get some of you all pumped up this morning. Okay. I believe you had too much eggnog and too much whatever. Okay. New Year's Eve. But I could say a lot of things to pump you up, to tell you, to get you to believe something positive about 2021. And then, but if you are not, if you've not positioned yourself, if you've not placed yourself in that place to receive and to be a part of it, then really it's going to have any kind of positive, powerful consequence on your life this morning. So, but this is a word that God spoke to me the other day about this word. Restoration and restitution. I've already heard that word, and I only talked to one pastor about his vision, and I didn't say what mine was, and I asked him, and he sent back the same thing, restitution. Do you understand what the word restitution means? It means to pay back. It means to take the wrong and make it right. Everything that was meant to harm you, God is going to flip it and turn it around for your good. There's a lot of powerful things that come out of 2020, which is another significant number. You know, there's a lot of powerful things. I know that we had a lot of loss, and we had a lot of things happen when we think about 2020. Just the sense of fear, the sense of uncertainty, the stress, the magnitude of stress you know, the sense of agitation, you know, and find yourself agitated and angry and not even knowing why you're angry or agitated. Has anybody ever felt that? One person, two, three people. Wow. God, I know you sent this word for a reason. I said, has anybody been agitated this year? Come on, get real with me. Get real with me. If you've not, then I want you to talk to me afterward and tell me how you did it. How you've not been irritated. Or the sense of frustration. The heightening of frustration. And hopelessness. You know. And complacency and apathy. And how we have struggled in these areas this morning. But I believe that God is in 2021. Because listen, there's two significant numbers, 13 and 8. Or you could put 3 times 7 is 21. 7, does anybody know what 7 means? It's a number of what? Perfection, okay? 8 is the number of completeness, okay? And both numbers are God's numbers. When God says amen, you know what he does? He puts a period at the end of the sentence. So this morning, I don't know what's going to happen altogether in 2021. I remember what Kathy said, Mrs. R said Wednesday night when she said, well, we're, you know, sometimes the future is uncertain. And depending on what's going around us, we don't know so much about the future. But we know who holds the future in his hands. How many knows that there's a God in the universe that's never lost a battle, that holds your future in his hands? Amen. The church is not going down. The church is going up. Don't hold your head down and drag your feet as though I'm marching myself into my execution. No, the church is going up. You're a victor, not a victim. We don't have to be a victim to all these things. God give us victory over those things. So God is about the number 13 significant because it has to do with sin. Sinfulness. And the natural way of speaking, people have always said 13 is an unlucky number. You know, how many's ever heard that before? 2 people, 3 people. Okay. All right. Well, man. You know what? If you were in my classroom, if you were, and I was grading you today on class participation, oh, Jesus, you wouldn't want to see the grade so far. I said, how many's ever heard, help me out, that 13 is an unlucky number? I promise you, it won't break off if you raise it in the air. Okay. You might get a lightning bolt. Poof. Okay. 13 is a number that represents sin. 21 has also been associated with the sinfulness. 24 chapters in the Bible that has a significance of 21 mentioned in all 24 of those chapters. And the first 5 chapters of the book deals a lot with 21. In 2 Timothy, Paul talks about, and the last days, perilous times will come. And in that scripture, he talks about 21 sins that will be dominant or be something that's significant in people's lives. Lovers of themselves, selfish, you know, rebellious. You know, you've heard of those things. If you read Paul's writing, there are 21 sins there. So people have the word 21 referred to 21 scripturally as also referring to sinfulness, because you put the number 13 and you add it to number 8 and you get 21. I don't want to get too deep right here, but what I want to say to you, that 8 is also representing a new beginning. the beginning of something that was lost, the reclaiming of something that was lost. And everybody in the mountains knows about reclamation and reclaiming, right? Come on, how many has ever heard of something called a strip job before? Come on, class, raise your hands if you've heard of it. Come on, help me out. I need your help. Whoa, just raising your hand. Hallelujah. I know you, Pastor Art, you're getting on my nerves. Good, I want to get on your nerves. And God wants to get in your heart and awaken something in you this morning to receive the word of God. So, 8 is a number of completeness. It's a number of newness and new beginning. So though we have suffered loss and we have suffered things in 2020, 2021, and although we face the same things, I could tell you, I could stand up here and tell you something crazy like, well, there's not going to be any more problems and it's just going to all vanish and there's not going to be any more death and there's not going to be any more sickness and you're going to get $1 million this year and listen, you're going to get a new job and you're going to get all that stuff and all the above things may happen. But let me tell you something. Me telling you this morning that this is a year of new beginning, a year of restoring, a year of restitution, a year of taking back, doesn't mean that you're not going to have any problems, that you're not going to go through something. But I believe that God is willing to restore the things that you lost. Put your life back together. Put your life back together. So I'm going to read a scripture, some scripture in the message this morning. So I will say to you this morning, everything the enemy's stolen. So when we talk about this morning, loss, this year, what have we lost? We'll go back to that just again, a moment again. We talk about the things that we've lost. We're sitting here in this room. We can think of all kinds of things that we've lost in 2020. You know, there are people sitting in this room that's lost loved ones. There are people in this room this morning that's lost peace. There's people in this room that's lost hope. There's people in this room that's lost joy. There's people in this room that's lost passion. There's people in this room that's sort of lost their purpose. And they're just in wonderment, looking around. Well, you know, do I have a purpose? Is there a meaning to my life? Is my life, does it have completeness? Is there something that God wants to do in my life? So we're sitting around here thinking about all that. But I'm here to say and tell you what the Lord says this morning. Everything the enemy has stolen from you. And I gave you a lot of images, Lakin, and I don't know if you have those images or not. But I'd send them to you by the way that you told me to, because I can't send anything directly to by email. But everything the enemy has stolen, God will restore to you. I believe God is about restoring your joy this year. Amen. Do you believe that? Can you use some more joy in your life? The more peace. I believe that the enemy, if you've lost peace or he stepped in and he's stolen your peace, I believe God is about restoring health. You heard what Sister Teresa said. She said, I lost the movement of my knee, but God helped me find and get back my healing, and he's restored my healing. Listen, if there was something significant missing in your personal life, you would do all measure to go back and restore or get that back. If the doctor gave you a bad prognosis, you would go to any doctor that you thought was possible to restore health to your life. If monetary and money and means were there, you would try to do everything you could to find that restoration, getting back. You would do that. But everything that the enemy has stolen, God's going to restore to you. The peace, the health, the dreams, the purpose. God's about restoring your life. Amen. How many believes that for your life this morning? Well, my children are wayward. They're out there somewhere. They're on drugs or messed up on alcohol. They're rebellious. Well, how many believe that God in 2021 will put your family back together? Because you know what? I believe God is about restoring the family in 2021. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that God is about restoring the family. God's about restoring your hope. Restoring your purpose. God's about that. He's about restoring your dreams. Hallelujah. There's a lot of dreamers in this room. You know what? You quit dreaming. You quit dreaming. You quit looking forward to. Because every day we find ourselves getting up and we're in the same rut that we were yesterday. Because we look at the same things it put in us, put us there. We look at our hopelessness. We look at the demise. We look at the doom. We look at the dismal situations around us. And we think, well, Lord, is anything going to change in my life? Listen, things will change because 2021 is also about the number change. God is going to change some things. I believe God's going to change some things. I believe that. Last year in 2020, the first word I think of the year was regaining perfect eyesight, 20/20 vision. Anybody remember that? Seeing the way Jesus sees. Seeing the way Jesus sees. So I want you to look at the word, the definition of restore, okay? It means to give back someone or something that which was lost or taken. To return, to put or bring something back into existence or use. Wow. And when I was thinking about that a while ago, I was thinking about the woman who lost her coin. And Jesus was talking about that woman who lost her coin. You got to understand that was a part of her dowry. That was a part of something that was majorly important to us. To you. Listen, things that we're talking about are important to you. Your health is important to you, right? Amen. Your family is important to you, right? Amen. Your salvation is important to you, is it not? Amen. So this morning, this woman lost something that she didn't think she could find. And everybody in this room before has lost something before. You've lost a cell phone, you've lost your keys. And if you're OC, if you lose a pen, you'll look all day looking for that special pen. I don't know. Or if you've lost something, how many's ever lost something before? And we've lost a t-shirt. Or we can lose money. Or we can lose a number of things. We can lose a lot of things. Now think about that woman who lost that coin. And the Bible said it was so important to her that she took her broom and with a light, she went through her house sweeping, turning everything upside down. And she did not rest until she found that coin that was lost. And when she found it, she got that coin and she ran through her house rejoicing. I found that which was I've lost. Amen. I lost a card that Kathy wrote me in 1991. And this card had a prophetic word, an utterance written in that card. It was something it meant to me. I kept it in my Bible, kept it in my journal. All these years, Preston, it was something. It was worn. You couldn't hardly read some of the words. I cried over it. You know, the ink had smeared and the words had gone together, but I could read some of it. But it was important. How many's got something that's important to you that it would be detrimental to you if you lost that? But I lost that coin. I lost that letter or that card. And I was over at the campground, and I thought I lost it there. I called the campground, and the people there, the caretakers of the campground, I told them to look for it. I told them where I might have lost it. They were gracious enough to call me back and say, "Mr. Reynolds, we never found your card, and I'm sorry." But I let them know when I called them how important it was to me. Listen, there are things important to your life. There are things that happened this past 2020 that were important to you. There were people that you lost that were important to you. Can somebody say amen? So I just lost it, and I thought, oh man, that's so important to me. But Lord, there's a reason why. So weeks went by, months went by. Sister Willie must have found, praise the Lord for Sister Willie. Praise the Lord for Sister Willie. Because she found what I lost. And she didn't know how important it was, but she found a card with a picture. I forgot. If I had it here, I'd show it to you. And the picture of it was Miss Kathy and myself. We were at the beach in 1988. We had both taken a retreat down there, just her and me. And that picture we took, I don't even know who took the picture, but it was me and her standing together. We had our shades on. You know, we were all cool and the Myrtle Beach sun, you know, and doing something there. But it was important. Yeah, it was important to us. But more important than the picture on the front of it was the words that she spoke to me in 1991, because I had given up hope. I didn't think I would ever be about the ministry again. I didn't think I would ever do this again. I'd ever pastor again. And the thing and the reasons I quit pastoring before are the things I battle every day. But you've got to know, if God is for you, then nobody can be against you. Amen. We all need hope. How many knows we all need hope? And so I lost hope that I'd ever find that. And I know this is elementary. I know this is childish. And I know this doesn't make sense to some of you this morning. But it's significant to me because I lost it. I lost something that was important to me. And I looked all over the place and I couldn't find it. But thank the Lord for Sister Willie. You know what? Thank the Lord for people in your life. When you lost your way, God sent somebody with a compass in your face to show you. Show you that you really hadn't lost your way. You really haven't lost your way. I'm here. I've always been here. You may have been messed up. You may have been in a broken place. You may have been in a place of dysfunction, but I didn't forget you. Do you think God just somehow said in 2020, "Well, I'm forgetting you all for a while"? God's always been mindful of you. Wow. And so Kathy had this little, I don't know what it was called. It was some kind of a little tapestry thing that had pockets in it that you put pictures in it. It was made out of material, and it had a place to put a rope and a rod across that you hung it up. You know, it was a beautiful thing, and it was hanging in the house. And I don't know how Sister Willie, you know, I had to ask her before about that because I didn't know. I thought that I'd set it on the edge and the trash can is near where I read and study, and that it just fell off in the trash and I'd never find it again. And I went through bags and bags of trash looking for what I lost. How many knows that God goes through bags and bags of trash looking for what he lost? Woo! Listen, some of you should have shouted right there. Some of you need to swallow a little pride and get up and do you a shout every now and then. It'll do your Shabbat real good. Amen. So that woman found her coin and she came rejoicing. And Jesus lost. He talked about the shepherd who lost his sheep. Now, sheep are important to a shepherd. And Lord, I think this is going somewhere else. I don't know. Oh, Jesus. I think God just changed the signs right here in the middle of the message. But about the shepherd losing his sheep, how he just lost the sheep. And to a shepherd, every sheep is important, because every day part of his menial task is to go out and count the sheep. And some people wonder why. Listen, I left a message one time on a door, and I hadn't seen this person in a few weeks. And, you know, pesky pastor as I am, I found out where they live. So I knocked on the door to see if they were okay, and nobody came to the door. And I left a message, and I said, "We miss you, just checking on you," signed Pastor R. Somebody got upset in the family because I called myself a pastor. Listen, if one of the fivefold ministry gifts of the gospel is pastoring, I'm not the pastor. I'm an under-shepherd. I only work for the main pastor. But I'm the one who works in the flock, helping with the power of the Holy Spirit to shepherd sheep. Amen. That's my business. That's his business. That's their business. It's to shepherd. That means to know where sheep are. And if I have to get in your space sometimes, that means you just got to amen or ouch. Or say, "Pastor R, I hate it. And I'm leaving the church because you're too nosy." One of the things, the hallmarks of, I won't say their name, but they were telling me several years ago, they started this new church, and they said two great things about this church. One of the things is you get out at 11:50. Wow, that's good. If that's what your goal is and objective, then that, I guess that's a good thing. The second thing is they said, you don't have to ever worry about it. You can miss as much as you want to, and they'll never check up on you. Well, listen, you got the wrong pastor, friend. Listen. Because if you get missing, I'll try my best with the Holy Spirit to find out where you are. So the shepherd lost his sheep. The Bible says that he was willing to leave the 99 and trust them in a safe place and go leave the 99 and go looking for the one that's lost. 2021, I believe it's not only the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to the gospel of Jesus Christ for us to be about the mission of looking for lost sheep that's lost their way, but it's also the responsibility of the church, because Jesus said, "The things I do, well, greater things will you do." And part of that responsibility is to know where every sheep is. Paul says, in his writing, he said, "If one goes astray, let him that is spiritual go and restore that one to his rightful place." We forget about that. Listen, it's not just God's responsibility to restore and put back, but it's the responsibility of the church to restore and follow the mandate of the gospel. To get people back. Because it hurts me when people miss. One of the things that's messed with my spiritual compass or my spiritual thing, and this whole thing, is where people are. And I hear people say, "Well, we're with you, Pastor R, but I don't see them." Well, you know, I understand that, and I'm not going there, okay? I'm not going to go there. And I understand the reason why sometimes people distance. I understand that. I understand people being safe. I understand people taking precautions. But then they can become our crutch if we're not careful. They can become our alibi. They can become our excuse, because we've just lost our way. We've lost our passion and our enthusiasm, and every day is just the same day, because we've lost our way, and we need that shepherd who's looking for his sheep. Will he not leave the 99 and go looking for the one that's lost? Listen, he'll go through hell. He'll go through high water. He'll go over cliffs. He'll climb mountains. He'll go through deserts. He'll go anywhere he can. And he will not rest until he finds that sheep that is lost. And when he finds it, the Bible says, he lays his hands on it, because it's injured. It's hurt. It can't find its way. It's disillusioned. It's hurt. And he takes that sheep and he puts it in his arms. Wow. He puts it in his arms. There's nobody can do for you like Jesus can. There's nobody can hold you like Jesus can. There's nobody can lift you up like Jesus can. There's nobody can put you together like Jesus can. And when he finds that one, he lays it on his shoulder and he comes rejoicing, because my sheep was lost, but now he's found. So I believe in 2021, this is a time for that which was lost is to be found and put back in its place, put back in its purpose, put back in the passion. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, you got one life to live here. Enjoy your ride. Enjoy your experience here. God doesn't want you to live every day with your head hung down. God doesn't want you to live every day strapped in fear, strapped in discouragement and hurt and pain. We'll say, well, it's part of the cross, and it is. But God put joy in you for the journey too, brother. You can look at the cross, and you can set your face like Jesus did toward Jerusalem, toward your purpose. And even though that purpose was for him to die a cross, even though things are going on around you, you can use the darkness for a platform. You can be the light in the darkness. Amen. You don't have to lose your way in the circumstantial darkness around us, because Jesus put a light in you, and that light is also to help others find their way out of the darkness. Amen. Amen. So let's go back to the scripture. Boy, that was a long way around the mountain, and I'm not going to be short here today, because God wanted me to tell you something. This year is going to be a sequential events of words laced with prophecy, and today it's going to start with restoration in your life, putting your life back. Putting your life back on track. If you get off track, how many knows you need to get back on track? If the train gets off the track, the train's going nowhere until you put it back on the track, because the track is the means to take it where it needs to go. You mine coal every day. You don't just get that expensive stuff out of the dirt. You don't just get it out of the heart of the mountain and stockpile it. Because there's trucks, there's caravans of trucks every day that come. They carry that toll, that coal, and they take it to a relay station, a temple, and they dump that coal, and it goes on the coal car, in the coal cars. And they carry it all over the country, and eventually into barges and the ships all over the world, because that coal needs a vehicle. That train needs a vehicle. That train's a need a vehicle. But it also needs tracks to travel on. And you may be off track. Your faith may be off track. Your passion may be off track. Your purpose may be off track. Your peace may be off track. But this year, 2021, is a year to get back on track. Amen. Amen. Get back on track. Get back on track. Get back on track. Get back on track. Get on the track. Stay on the track. Amen. Phew. Trish, that just come to me. Man, I remember the day you come, man. There's something happened, young lady. There's something happened that day. You got a hold of Jesus. I mean, he just rolled the burden away. He did something great, great and crazy in your life, something radical. I could see a difference. How many knows that sometimes when you see people after they have an encounter with God, that you can see right away that God did something in their life? I know sometimes it takes us time, and we don't all get there at one time, but sometimes you can really see something right at the beginning. I saw something. I just saw a joy. I saw a heaviness. I saw a veil lifted. I saw something in your life. I saw innocence. I saw redemption. I saw peace. I saw joy. I saw strength in your life. And you know what? She was working at the same time when she first came to Jesus. I'll tell this on her. And every Sunday she'd come and she'd tell her mom, she'd say, "Oh, mom, I have to leave. I have to leave and get back to work about 12:30 or whatever time it was. I have to be there before they open. So I have to be there." So she'd sit there. We'd keep watching the clock, and service would go a little bit long, and she'd keep watching the clock, and she said, "Oh man, I gotta work, but I can't. Oh, I'm into something. I can't let it go. I can't let it go because I found my way." How many knows if you know the way, it's a lot different than being lost? Because you find every reason to be about it, because you don't want to miss one moment of it. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Wow, so let's get to the scriptures, and maybe I'll just end with that. But I do want to say this. 2021 is about restoration, but it's about restitution, because restitution is tied to restoration. Because there's so many scriptures, so many powerful examples in the scripture. So many powerful things in the scripture that point that the Bible is full. It's intertwined with scriptures about restoration, because God is in the building business of restoring. Because what we lost in the first man, Adam, we lost something in the first man, Adam. I want to say to you this morning, God in 2021 is about restoring your relationship, your closeness with the Father. He's about restoring that relationship with God, because your life really don't have real significant purpose until you're in right relationship with God, the Father. How many knows you got to be right with God? To be right with God starts with, at times in our life, repenting. How many's ever heard that word before? You don't hear that in the church very much anymore. But repentance is important, because repentance is about, it's about a conscious decision on your part for change. I'm tired of the direction I'm going, so I need to change my direction. I need to change the way I'm thinking. My thinking's stinking. And I need to change the way I'm thinking. I need to repent, because repenting is not a 360 decision. It's a 180. 360, somebody once said, repentance is 360. No, 360 is turning around back to the same place you were. 180 is turning around a different direction and going the different direction. This is what will bring change in your life. more significantly, if 2021 we begin this year with inventory, what do I need to change in my life? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to change? Do I need to let go of things? Do I need to quit gossiping? Do I need to quit this or quit that? Do I need to quit doubting? Do I have things in my life? Do I need to quit slothfulness and apathy? Are there things that in my life that I need to repent of and say, God, in 2021, I know it's been a crazy, chaotic years, but Lord, I have messed up in 2021, 2020, and I know that I'm going to start my year by doing inventory. And that's why David said in Psalms 139 and 23 and 24, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there's any wicked way in me, lead me into the way of everlasting. Inventory is searching the inventory you have. If there's something missing or something lost or something off track, it's time for you to put it back in its rightful place. Wow. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, are you his people? You're called by his name, right? Hello? Anybody with me? If my people who are called by name will humble themselves. Humility is the greatest grace, gift of grace that you have, is to be humble before the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you in due time. The way to get closer to God is not exalting yourself, but humbling yourself, putting yourself in a position where God, I'm in need of your grace. I'm in need of your forgiveness. I'm in need of restitution with my brother. I want things to be in the rightful place. And it starts with me, oh Lord. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You ever hear that old gospel song? It's not my brother. Most of our time, we spend a lot of our time looking at our sister and brother and saying, oh Lord, they stand in the need of prayer. But really, it should be us looking into the recesses of our heart and saying, God, it's not my brother nor my sister that's got plenty of fault, but it's me, oh Lord. I stand in the need of prayer. If my people call by name will humble themselves and seek my face. I'll hear from heaven. Sister Teresa said it. I'll heal their land. I'll restore their land. I'll put their land back. I'll put them back in possession of their purpose and the plan they have for their lives. Amen, amen, amen. We're just about there. Is everybody still with me today? Sometime this week, I want you to read Exodus 21 because this chapter in the book of Exodus is about God restoring things, making things right, the rights of slaves to go free, the restitution of losses. In the Old Testament, restitution was an powerful, important thing. It was all part of restoration. But remember, we lost a lot in the garden. And God tried different mechanisms to bring us back. And you know, The law was weak. All the law did was to show us a consciousness of our sin and the lackness in their own life, that we couldn't save ourselves, and you couldn't please God by just keeping rules and obeying laws, that you had to have relationship. That's the only thing that will fix a broken life, is a relationship, a true relationship with a true and living God. The law was weak. Sacrifices were not enough. But then all of those things pointed to the perfect sacrifice, or the perfect means of restoration that God will eventually use. Everything in the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of the new. And what we lost in the beginning with that first sin and rebellion against God, they lost that severed relationship, was severed, and we lost our way, and we were abandoned in a wilderness to go searching and looking through dry places, and God tried every means to bring us back, because God is about you walking with Him. He's about your relationship with Him. God wants it more than you want it. Amen. So, in the first Adam, we lost through sin and rebellion. We gained through the second Adam, which is Jesus. Jesus was the second Adam, and He restored what the first Adam lost. So God restored what we lost through Jesus. He restored what we lost through Jesus. Through Jesus. Think about that. Hallelujah. Man, whew. Restoring, getting back what was stolen and what was lost. In 2020, the devil has stepped into our lives and taken from us. You know what? And a lot of times he didn't have to knock the door down. A lot of times he found the door cracked open. Just leave a door cracked. That's all you need for a thief, right? John 10 and 10. A thief, really, listen. Somebody once said a lock is only for an honest person. Because if he's a real thief, he'll find a way to get in. How many knows the devil is looking for a way to get into your life, to find entry, so he can take from you what's important to you? And he only takes a man to what's important. You might leave him a note and say, well, clean out my closet. There's a lot of junk in there. You can take some of that stuff. And put a note on everything you want him to take. But it's not the way he does. He takes important things. John 10:10, for the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. One of the job descriptions of the devil is to steal what God has rightfully placed in your life. What Jesus has restored in your life, the devil has tried with his tactics and his schemes, is to walk into your life unaware and take what is important to you. But in 2021, God wants us to walk back into the camp and take back what the enemy has stolen. Because when David come to Ziklag in 2 Samuel chapter 30, his heart was broken when he found his camp, his hideaway, his little city, his little fortress, with his devoted warriors and his family and their families and his possessions. He saw all of those blessings David had accumulated in a place called Ziklag. And when he was out chasing the enemy found the back door, and he walked into his camp, and he took his possessions, he took his children, he took his wives, he took all that was important, and walked right out of the camp of Ziklag. And David come and saw what God had blessed him was spoiled by the enemy, and it broke his heart. And the Bible said the men wept and they cried till they couldn't weep anymore. And the Bible said that David lost heart. He got so discouraged. Because in his lostness and the men's lostness, they all turned against David. How many knows you know who your friends are until the going gets tough? Amen. Oh, I've known that. Oh, I've known that. I know there's some other people in here too. Listen, you got friends when you got money. You got friends when everything is good. You got friends. Listen, you're on the team side if they're winning. And if they're not, whoa. It's time for me to change teams. And so his men turned against him. And they picked up stones and they wanted to stone David and get rid of him. But the Bible said that David found no encouragement from his men, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. How many know sometimes when things are against you and nobody else will encourage you, God will find a place where he will pour himself into you and encourage yourself. We've needed a lot of encouragement in 2021. To be honest with you, I've looked for it. Not me. I'm tough. I'm tough. You're tough until you need a miracle. You're tough until you need something from God. You're tough until you need help. And if that place has not happened yet, it will happen, my friend. It will happen. It will happen. And David had to encourage himself. And he asked the Lord, what am I going to do, Lord? How am I going to get back? And we can look in 2020, and some people are so not into 2021 yet because they're still reminiscing 2020. They're still counting losses. They're still looking at things that are not in its rightful place. And they're looking to dry places and wondering. They're wandering through the camp, discouraged, looking down, and wondering, will it ever be the same? You know what? I don't know if our earth will ever be the same totally. But I do know this, the earth may not be, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he changes not. His love is the same. His grace is the same. His power is the same. His benefits are the same. His provisions are the same. So David encouraged himself and said, Lord, what am I going to do? Should I go and pursue the enemy, or should I just stay here? I'm going to ask you all that question this morning. And those that are listening in this morning, do you want to stay where you were in 2020? Well, there's a few people. What if God was taking every voice? What if God was recording every voice right there? I said, do you want the same thing you had in 2020? Okay. How many knows we need change? We need change here. We need change here. And we need change in a greater scope. So David said, what am I going to do? God says, you go. You go pursue the enemy. And he said, this thing I'll do, David. If you go after the enemy, if you pursue the enemy, you'll recover everything that the enemy has stole from your life. Everything. You know what? I love them old songs. You got to do those old songs every now and then. You got to go back to the enemy's camp, and you got to take back what the enemy has stolen from your life. That means you got to pursue. Faith has got to awaken in your life. Passion has got to awaken in your life. Praise has got to awaken in your life. Prayer has got to awaken in your life. The Word's got to awaken in your life. And you got to walk toward the enemy that we've spent 2020 running from. You got to walk into his camp and look the devil in the eye and say, you give me back everything you took from my life. You give me my peace back. You give me my joy back. You give me my life back. You give me my purpose back. Let me share this verse. Oh, Jesus. Now I'll tell you, you won't get it by staying where you are. You won't get it by staying where you are. You won't get it by staying where you are. Proverbs 6:31. But if the thief is caught, he will pay sevenfold. God is about restitution. He's not just giving you something necessary to get you by. God is exceedingly, abundantly, above all. That's what he gives your life. God just don't give you enough. He gives you and more than enough. So he says this. If the thief comes in and he takes, and if he's caught, he'll pay sevenfold. He'll give all the goods in his house that he's collected. The Bible says he'll pay. He has to give back. That's called restitution. That's called restitution. You know why we have that promise? Because this is what Jesus did. See, Jesus just didn't die to pay for our sins. Sin, that's redeeming. That's buying back what we couldn't afford. Because how many knows that you couldn't afford to pay the sin penalty for your sin? You don't have enough money. You never have enough money to pay for the sin penalty of your sin. That's where Jesus became our go-between. So he redeemed us. He bought us back. We had a price and he bought us back. That's redemption. That restored us to our rightful place with him by receiving that into our life. Now we have fellowship with God. We have relationship with the Father. That's what restoration is. But restitution is putting back everything and more. Putting back and more. Restoring it and making it better than it ever was before. You see, I believe in that for marriages. I believe in God's going to put marriages, solidify them, and put them back and make them better than they've ever been before. Anybody receive that word today? Not about restitution with your family, your children. Some of them are wayward. They're away from sin. They're away from God, and they're dabbling in sin. And they're rebellious and they're not where they need to be with God. And you pray and you talk to them and you plead with them. Come on, kids, get in here. And they just don't see it. They just can't feel it right now. But you know what? Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I believe it will happen because I believe in a God who will restore and give restitution to everything you've lost. You see, these powerful blessings of these kids with me today. See, some of you don't know the significance of that, just like you didn't know the significance of that card. I was telling you the story about that little card. I don't even know if I finished that, did I? In that little thing that was hung on the wall. Thank God for Sister Willie. I'm just going back. Okay. Sound like, Pastor Art, what happened? Are you okay? Oh, Jesus, give us some people with joy. Give us some people that shout even though they can't feel it. Just give us some people, Lord, that will shout. But thank God for Sister Willie because she found that card and that picture. I don't know where she found it. She probably don't even remember where she found it. And she probably don't even remember doing this. But she stuck that right behind a picture on that what do you call them things? Okay. Photo holder. It was made out of cloth. She stuck that in behind that. But you see, months later, I still hadn't given up on finding that. Sal, aren't you glad that God didn't give up on you? Aren't you glad that he didn't give up on you, Luke, out there in your craziness? You were crazy on steroids, brother. I'm not talking about being addicted to steroids, but your crazy was on steroids. How many's ever been crazy on steroids before? Oh, for all you goody two shoes. Come on. But God didn't give up on you. When you thought your marriage was hopeless, guess what? God was still working behind the scenes. Oh, when you seen your kids come to Jesus and you were worried and burdened for them. How many times did I see Sister Willie praying for my children? Look on your right-hand side, Sister Willie. Do you see who sat beside you today? That's called restoration and restitution. Everything the devil took from you. Even your grandchildren today that you're burdened for, God's about restoring those. Melody and Johnny, God's about putting all those things back together. Even better than it was before. I found that card, and I have it today. Because I didn't give up on the pursuit of it, and somebody didn't give up on the helping of it. You see, God pursuing, and we're the instruments of his pursuit today. And you may be out there listening in today. You may feel like that the world has given up on you. You may feel like that family has given up on you. You may feel like the church has given up on you. We've not given up. God is definitely not giving up. And he's looking and he's pursuing. And some of you need to get back on track. 2021, you need to get back on track. You need to get your praise back. Get your purpose back. Get your passion back. Then you'll get your joy back. Amen. You'll start feeling better. You won't get up every day like saying, I got to have me another drink. Or I got to have me another hit. Or I got to have me another woman or another man. You won't have to have that stuff. Because you get up every day, you got Jesus in your tank. And he'll give you a reason. He'll give you a reason for keep going. All right. Closing on this. Oh, Jesus. I didn't know it was that late. Okay. Deuteronomy 30 and 3:13. Just mark this down in your heading and we'll go back and we'll get back to this another time. But David recovered all. Remember? He went in pursuit of the enemy. He marched into his camp and he took back everything that the enemy had taken from him. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy 30, 3:13. This is in the message. God will restore. God, your God, will restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. Listen to this. He'll come back and he'll pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. Oh, God will even go and look for all the pieces in antiquity and antiques when they look for things. It's not even humanly possible to find sometimes in relics and lost pieces, find every piece of a lost relic. But God will not rest until he finds every little piece in your life. And I'm going to say something to you. This ministry is a coat of many colors. it's a tapestry or it's a quilt with many pieces on it. And God's about all the pieces. And God's putting all the pieces together. He's finding all the remnant. He's finding all the pieces that somebody else doesn't want. And he's putting them back. And he's making him a beautiful tapestry. A beautiful bride. He said he'll come back and he'll pick up all the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. No matter how far, verse 4, far away you end up. Wow. It don't matter how far. Preston, didn't matter how far. Amber, little Pennsylvania girl. Pennsylvania girl. Sal, New Jersey boy, right? I say that wrong every time. I'm sorry. That was fighting news, okay? Just think about the stories that every life in here has. And how specifically God pursued until he found those pieces and he put them together. To come up with this wild, unbelievable vision about people who follow his purpose and who do not give up and look for the lost. No matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there. He'll get you out of there. And verse 5, and he'll bring you back into the land your ancestors once possessed. I know you're not where you need to be, but I'm not giving up, and I'm going to bring you back where you need to be. 2021 is bringing you back where you need to be. And quit thinking you've arrived. You're already good enough. You're already there. No, you're a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. And he says, it will be yours again. He'll give you a good life and make you more numerous than your ancestors. God, your God, will cut away the thick calluses of your heart and your children's hearts, freeing you to love God, your God, with all your heart, soul, and live, really live. How many here want to live? How many want to really live? I come to give you not just life. I don't want you to skip by. I hear people all the time say, Pastor, I'm just getting by. That's not God's philosophy for you. He don't want you just to make it. He wants you to live and live life more abundantly. Amen. Verse 7. God your God will put all these curses on your enemies that hated you and that were out to get you. And he'll make you a new start. 2021. A lot of pain in 2020. I'm not saying they're not going to be pain in 2021. But I'm saying there'll be a new start in this new year. I will do a new thing in you, the Lord says. Isaiah 43 and 18, behold, I will do a new thing. Do you not see it? Open your eyes. Do you not see that God wants to do something new in your life? Ooh. A new start, listening obediently to God. You see, that's what Sister Willie was talking about, repositioning yourself. That means we got to do something about it. We got to start obeying God. God's just not going to pour out all this stuff out on your disobedience and your rebellion. God's not going to do that. But when you turn your heart back to the Father, he'll put everything back in its place. God, your God, will outdo himself. I love that. He'll outdo himself in making things go well for you. You'll have babies. Oh, some of you I know are done with having babies. But you're going to have spiritual births. You're going to have spiritual dreams come forth. Amen. You're going to birth some spiritual dreams in your life. You're going to grow crops. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to enjoy an all-around good life. I believe that. I believe God's purpose for us to enjoy a good life. I'm not saying that it'll always be easy, but I'm saying a good life. Yes, God will start enjoying. Yes, God will start enjoying you again, making things go well for you, just as he enjoyed doing it for your ancestors. But only if you listen obediently to God, your God, and keep the commandments and the things written in this book of Revelation. Nothing half-hearted here. You must return to God, your God, totally heart and soul, holding nothing back. Come back to God totally. This commandment that I'm commanding you today isn't too much for you. It's not out of the reach. It's not out of your reach. I'm going to restore to you. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. I'm going to restore everything that the locust, the swarming locust, the cankerworm. I'm going to restore everything that the enemy has marched in and destroyed or taken from you. God says, I want to put your life back together. I want to give you purpose. I want to give you meaning. Hallelujah. 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 2021 is about restoration. It's about restitution. It's about going back and taking back and getting back on track. It's about doing that. You say, Pastor R, that's a tall order. Only if you make it that way. Only if you make it that way. God's already about it. He's been about it. He's been about it. Let 2021 be the most blessed year in your life. Even when things are going haywire, let this be the most blessed year in your life. Amen. Your kids need you. The community needs you. Amen. Your job, your kids need you. If you teach school, whoever. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. You know what God's ready to pour out today? New wine. New wine. Come on, some of you like that song. Oh, I love that song. God's ready to pour out new wine, but you've got to have new wineskins. So you've got to let go of old stuff. The same old, same old. Quit marching around the same mountain and expecting new blessings every day. Quit expecting new things in your life, and you won't let go of the old things in your life. God wants to pour out new wine. And he said, before you can facilitate that, go get you a new wineskin. So today, let's renew our heart. This is a time to renew our heart. This is a time to renew our covenant, beginning with me. I probably messed up more than anybody in this room today. I probably felt God more than anybody in this room. Oh, I could write a book on failures. I could write probably a volume on failures. But God wants us to go in and take back and restore, because God's about to repay, and God wants to pour out on all those that receive a new blessing for this year, a new wine. Hallelujah. How many is ready for the new wine? Are you ready? Are you ready for a fresh drink today? Come on, get your hands to the Lord today and receive from the Lord. You know what? You can even get your hands in the air and your heart not even be open to God. You can put your hands in the air all day long, but your heart not be open and never receive anything from God this morning. God wants to pour out today, and he is pouring out. He says, forget the former things. I know 2021 has been a tough year. It's been a hard year. 2020. I know it's been a year of losses. It's been a year of sadness, a year of heartache, a year of struggle, a year of questions. It's been a year that's been strange and different. But in the midst of all that, God says, I'm ready to do something new in your life. How many know that Jesus is coming back? We're going to talk some more about that in 2021. But today, he's coming to where you are. Do you hear me? He's coming right there where you are. Right there. Right there in your space where you are. That's where he is right now today. And all he's saying is, he says, just open up. Let me in. I'm going to help you go back, and I'm going to help you take back. Get back what you've lost. Get back what the enemy stole. We're going to get it back. I'm going to help you. We're going to redeem the land. We're going to take it back. Lord, I need my joy back. I need my passion back, Lord. Lord, I want to not just do things with empty words. I don't want to just say empty words. I don't want an empty relationship. I don't want to go through the motions. I really, Lord, want to sense your glory in your presence right now. Pour it out. Pour it out, Jesus, right now. Pour it out.